We're continuing a lesson that we started this morning, and it's based in Colossians chapter 3 for the most part, that we're going to go a little bit further today, or this evening. If you would go over to Colossians chapter 3 just for a moment, as I do a very quick recap. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, "Therefore you have been raised, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." We have a goal as Christians to keep God in sight. That Christ is who we are following. Christ is the one that we live for. And that we need to keep that goal in sight. When we are talking to others about becoming Christians, we have to remember that while we want people to be baptized, that's just the first step. Being a Christian is about a life of change, about being a different person. And it means then that we have to give up the past. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Therefore, considering the members of your earthly bodies as dead to immorality, impunity..." I'm going to get my tongue untied here. Let me start again. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices." We have to disconnect from the world. We have to leave all those sins that we are involved in behind. They are the reason this world is going to be destroyed. They are the reason that we were lost in our sins. We have to change. And so, continuing on, then, in verse 10, which is where we have gotten to. Get this to change here a second. Continuing on then in verse 10, it says, "And it put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you rich within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." It starts out, the whole idea about being a Christian, while we're to be steadfast, we've got to be resolute, we've got to be sticking to what God says, is not without change. But the change is that we become more like our Savior. The psalmist wrote back in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and starting with verse 9, Psalm 51, starting with verse 9. It says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. I need to change. Renew in me. Create in me a new heart. It's talking about being transformed. A total change. But notice that what he follows it up with, he says, renew a steadfast spirit within me. I need to be devoted, steady, constant to the change that God has created in me. But I have to change. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We change. Everything's new. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You see, if we approach being a Christian as only about getting rid of our sins, and I've seen people try this, where they focus on, hey, I can't sin any longer. If that's all our focus is, we'll fail. In fact, Jesus illustrated this in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 43. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and it does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and set in order. Then it goes along and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it is also with this evil generation. If all we do is sweep out our house and get rid of the sin, we leave it bare and empty, waiting to be occupied. And it's going to be occupied by sin again. But sin is always progressive. Sin always comes back stronger than it was before. Instead, what Christianity is about is the replacement of sin with righteousness. Take a look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Do this knowing that the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to his lust. Notice the change. We take away the sins, but we replace it with Christ. And it becomes our armor. It becomes our protection. We can't make any elbow room for sin because it will creep in. Take a look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That renewal comes about by our knowledge of God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. God's word changes everyone. Too often times we get this. And I've done it too. I've slipped up every once in a while and say, you know, that we talk about that we converted someone. No, God converts people. We just point them in the right direction. We teach them what God has said. But it is God who does the conversion. And it's through God's word that we are born again. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. This is how we change, through the knowledge of what God has granted to us. And so then we become, in Christ, alike. If we're all being transformed into the image of Christ, there's only one Christ. And so we become one. All the divisions that people erect between each other in the world, they do not exist in the church. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 16, or 6 and verse 16, Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, and those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. There is only one Christ. He is one Lord, and we are trying to become like him. One other verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are made to drink of one Spirit. Again, we participate in one God. And so the distinctions the world makes, it doesn't matter. The silliness that goes on in the world around us, it's not for us. The world finds reasons to divide and fight. But we have reasons to come together and unite. And because we are alike, then we treat each other with respect. Take a look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the kind intentions of His will. We are all holy people. We have all been set apart for a special purpose. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, for your fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which are yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Fix your hope completely on what God has done for you. Don't be conformed to the world. Be like God. Then towards each other we put on. If you go back to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. Notice again it says, in verse 12, so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Or some of your translations say tender mercies. What does that mean? Mercy is giving people less than what we think they might deserve. There's all sorts of people out there that have done us wrong. And a lot of times we think, hey, they really need a good thrashing. Mercy is saying, no, we give them less than we think they might deserve. Mercy then comes from compassion. Take a look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and in verse 33. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And then jumping down to verse 36, it said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. One of the things that happens when we get angry and we get mad at people, we lose any sympathy. We lose all our compassion for them. We need that so that we might treat other people with better respect. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. We need to feel sympathy for one another. We need to understand where other people are coming from. Paul went on, though, to say also, not only do we need to have compassion, but we need kindness as well. Kindness is being courteous to other people. Doing good to other people. He also told us that we need humility. That's the opposite of self-pride. If I'm going to work with other people, I cannot put myself first. In Romans chapter 12, and in verse 3, For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Paul also said we need meekness. Some of your translations say gentleness. Meekness is the idea of considering yourself far less important than other people. That other people's problems are more important to you than your own. It's the idea of putting people first. Take a look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That is our goal. Because of our love for each other, we're here to serve each other. And Paul followed that by being long-suffering. Long-suffering is this idea that you have to put up with people that are at times kind of irritating. He went on to say that we need to bear with each other. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 2, bearing with one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How do we fulfill Christ's law? Putting up with each other. Bearing with each other. And it has to mean then I have to be willing to forgive. And all the world has a problem with that. Oh, they use the word a lot. But they really don't do it. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. It cannot be merely words. Can you imagine God just saying, yeah, I said I forgave you, and just leave it at that? Forgiveness goes beyond that. It's releasing the person from any obligations to us. They don't owe us anything. In Colossians, then, Paul goes on, as he does in many of his letters, to give us some practical applications. He starts out with how we apply this in our families. He says, wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. How do we treat our own family members? We are supposed to be people of God, aiming for Christ. Put off the sins and put a new spirit in you. A unity of everyone striving to follow after Christ. How about your employment? In Colossians 3, verse 22, slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. How do I work? I work for Christ. It doesn't matter whether I have a good boss or a bad boss. I work my all because I'm working for Christ. How am I working for Christ? Devin flips hamburgers. How does that work for Christ? Other people do other jobs. How does that work for Christ? Because you are representing Christ. People see Christ in you. Do they see somebody who's lazy, or do they see someone who's working hard? Do they see an honest person or someone who's dishonest? How do you represent Christ to others? Does your life show a change that makes you like Christ to other people? How about your relationship, your spiritual relationships? In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I am also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What's your prayer life like? Are you praying for your brethren? Are you praying for the gospel to spread? Are you praying for those who are spreading the gospel? Are you praying that people can see the word clearly so they too might be transformed? And then Paul talks about, what about our relationships with those people that we left behind in the world? In verse 5, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. I need to talk to them. I need to know how to answer them. I need to know how to encourage people to come out of the world and become a Christian. It's not an instantaneous process of change. We're working at removing old habits and replacing them with new ones. And those changes will affect all aspects of our life. But the one constant always there, even though I'm constantly changing and hopefully improving, the one constant is always there is I'm not going to give up. All the world's full of discouragement, but I have to be resolute that I'm going to change to be and live with my God. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, we offer that opportunity as we do each time we gather. And for those of you who are children of God who would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, again, there's an opportunity now. It doesn't have to be just now, but now's a good time. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected?